Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 347. Wait, is that right?
47?
I have no idea.
Didn't we hit like the year a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I was completely wrong.
Like
it's not 47.
Yeah,
it's 36.
Yeah, 36. That
right.
Was weird.
That was way too bad. I'm starting that one over. I'm sorry.
Happy New Year, everybody.
No, don't start it over. Just go. Just go with it, man. We don't have to cancel out every little. Just keep going. Whatever. You fucked up. Who cares?
347.
That was
it's like
really
way
bad,
off.
But no one gives a shit though. It's like, okay, wow, you fucked up the thing and you corrected yourself.
No one gives a shit if he's like 364 or 367. But come on,
347.
I don't think anyone cares that he went 347. Then
hey, what
we corrected
was, what was episode 347? Let's look. What was episode 347?
That's a long time ago.
That was a long
it's
time
like,
ago.
All
right,
it
would have been the one right before 348.
Be objective.
So.
The objective.
Oh, that
B,
one. That was
B,
one of our
objective. That was one of those
things.
Episodes. Yeah, it was one
it was
of those episodes.
Of
sure. Yeah. It was
yeah.
One...
Game of the Year talk.
Yeah. We're doing Game of the Year.
Look at that.
Yeah. Anyway, my name is Christopher Hugh, and I'm here with Travis Baum.
Hey.
So I guess I'm gonna keep going now. And Jeff Jordan.
Yeah. Of course. What up? That's what we're about, man. We're not going corporate. We're not going editing ourselves. Fuck that shit.
We're doing it live.
That's right.
Today we are talking about games. That's what we're talking about. So what we're going to do is we're going to do some distractions, then we'll take a break. We'll do news, new releases, and we'll talk about a new question of the week if we got one. So before we do that, let's see what's going on. I know a lot's going on for both Jeff and Travis.
Oh, yeah.
So Jeff, what's up, man?
What's up, Jeff?
Not much. Today was officially the last day of my vacation. Of course. After then the weekend.
Safe trip though. Yes.
Yes. It ended up being a very safe trip. We, of course, we went and visited the Baums, Travis and Megan.
Hi.
Hey, we left on Saturday at like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. or something like that. And originally we were going to see if we can just drive to like Charlotte, stay over Charlotte and drive there. But we decided, hey, fuck it. Let's just drive the entire way. Which,
how long did it take?
It was it was about 15 hours because we stopped about three times. It's usually about 14.
Okay.
So it was about 15 hours, I guess.
Way longer than our original projection when we were we first had this conversation like 6 months ago.
So,
and
yeah,
Jeff
like
was
three
like,
and a half
hey,
hours
man,
away.
Do you know we're like 9 hours away from you?
Yeah.
A drive? And I was like, really? You guys should totally come. And he's like, yeah, we're doing it. And it ended up being considerably longer.
I remember that conversation because I kind of put a wrench in it, if I remember correctly.
Jeff, Chris with his facts.
I know, God forbid.
Yeah. Oh, well. But it was an all right drive. It was a lot. It seemed like a long time at the time, but looking back on it, it wasn't that bad. And we divided up. Like, I'd drive for 3 hours, Tony would drive for 3 hours, I'd drive for 3 hours. Listened to a lot of music, a lot of podcasts, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Went through one of the craziest lightning storms ever experienced in the last 2 hours of the trip, because it was funny, and I shouldn't have said anything, but as we're in South Carolina, we're probably about 2 hours away from their place, and I was like, this is the first road trip we've ever done where we haven't hit any construction, traffic, or bad weather. And literally 10 minutes after that, the dark clouds rolled in, and there was lightning freaking everywhere, stormy, and Tanya got some of it on video, I think, with her phone. But it was pretty scary, and we got there, and they didn't get any of that storm, which is kind of weird.
Not at all.
So, no. So that part was kind of cool. It's fucking hot there. Holy shit!
No.
It was a balmy. And I'll say it in American terms because no one's gonna understand what Jeff says when he says it's like 37 degrees outside. But
it's like 38.
It stayed on average around 98 degrees.
Sounds
and
about
not
right.
Without the humidity.
Yeah, without the humidity.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty stifling and everything. And Jeff was struggling a couple of those walks downtown.
Oh my god! Some of those walks were bad. Like after like 5 minutes, it'd be like because we'd sit down for like lunch. You know, your body heat regulates. So and we're kind of like on the water, so it wasn't that bad. And 5 minutes actually walking like with the pavement everywhere and everything. It's like I'm like sweating my balls off. Like, this is bad. Holy shit.
Started getting that chafe, that monster chafe.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That chafe, yeah.
Those upper thighs. Start
I was wearing boxer briefs, so I didn't get any of that.
Okay. That's why I wear boxer briefs.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I didn't think it was going to be that. That was probably the highest I've ever experienced with the humidity. It was, it was crazy. But luckily, Travis and Megan had their air conditioning blasting the entire time, so we'd walk in there and be like, oh.
So, so on that note, what do you guys keep your house set at?
We set ours at 70, usually around 73 is the.
Okay. So average. Not too far off. I'm at like 74 during the day. Yeah.
Yeah, all I right. like it. I like it a little cool when I go to bed.
Yeah, me too.
I like the bundle in the blankets.
Yeah,
get up in a spoon position with the old
lady.
My
wife wants to make sure that I let everybody know that I usually have a ceiling fan on and that she's freezing at 74 degrees.
I was too. Like even in the wintertime, I'd usually always put a fan on anyway, mostly for the noise. And I just like it being kind of cool and just like. Getting under those covers, Tanya doesn't like it.
Yeah. See, the good thing about ceiling fan though is that you can actually put it on the winter setting, so it's actually pulling the air up.
Yeah. So.
What kind of futuristic, wait. Did you talk about the AC or the fan?
No, like a ceiling fan.
There's a winter setting for the ceiling fan?
Yeah, you know the switch on the side of the ceiling fans?
I'm looking at mine right now. Yeah, there's a switch on the side of it.
There's a switch on the side of it. If you flip the switch, it turns in the reverse direction. Because hot air rises.
Okay.
So what it does is it pushes the hot air into the ceiling and it basically bounces off and comes back down to you.
The more you know, you son of a bitch. Look at that. I'm looking at a switch. You know, now that I see it, I've always seen that switch.
And you've always thought, what's that switch for?
I thought it was like an emergency off. Like, why would you ever need that? But why else would there be an actual manual switch on there? I don't know.
Yeah, it reverses the direction.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So, it was cool. We spent our days kind of doing random shit, coming back, cooling off, doing random shit. The last day was pretty cool. We decided to use because Travis kind of lives in a gated community, I guess, kind of thing.
Sure.
They have a shared pool and barbecue area and stuff, grilling area. So
yeah, cabanas, mini golf. Yeah. You can play cornhole.
I'm not laughing at saying that. I'm laughing at Jeff's reaction to it every time we say it. It's like, dude.
But yeah, no, we have this awesome bricked in grill area that's under a canopy.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's we just decided to grill some burgers, some brats,
all right,
hot dogs.
Man, I love some brats,
veggies.
Man.
Yeah, it was a good time. And we did a lot of stuff, man. We went out.
Played some basketball.
Yeah, played some basketball in the pool, game of horse.
So
it was a good time, but we did a lot of stuff.
Drank
man.
Sailor.
We did, that last night was brutal for me. The next morning was brutal. We did a lot of stuff, man. We walked around downtown. We did some, ghost tours, which is more like a history tour with a hint of spookiness in it, but I mean, not much else. It's more
of a interesting.
It's in history. It's a history lesson. Yeah. On top of that, we did, walks on the beach. A lot of dinners. I mean, we did a lot of cool stuff. And, at the end of the day, it was just the grilling out poolside was my highlight. Like, not even leaving our property.
Yeah, whole day was pretty good, I thought.
Whole day was great. Because
at night, it wasn't super, super hot either. It wasn't it was actually a decent temperature.
Right.
So, wasn't too bad. And we met up with Samdu. Samdu came out the last
night.
Yeah,
I'm kind of jealous about that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
yeah,
a.
He's
that
really,
was a good
he's really
night.
Cool, dude.
Yeah, and, out he seems.
Yeah, we were eating at this Thai place called Basil downtown Charleston on King Street.
Oh, I've been doing Basil before.
Yeah, it's great.
Is it a chain?
It is a chain. We thought it was only
a
Charleston only a local restaurant only. But yeah, we found out not too long ago that there are quite a few more.
Yeah.
Right. But we were eating there, and that's where Sam Dunham met us up, and had some drinks. And just chilled out, talked a little bit, and it was a good time. And then we're like, hey, what are we doing after? And, we're like, let's hit a club. And my original thought was, let's go to Cocktail Club. There's a nice rooftop bar, but still, I mean, it was cooler than it has been the remainder of the trip,
yeah,
but it was still hot.
Yeah, it was still hot.
To hang out on a rooftop and drink beer that's going to dehydrate us even more
yeah,
and make
I hear
it
you.
Worse. So, Sam was like, hey, let's go to this place called Torch. And we went back and forth King
yeah,
Street a couple
it.
Of times not trying to find it. And I pulled out my GPS on my phone and I'm like, no, it says it's two doors down. And we looked and we didn't see a place called Torch. And we looked at the sign and Sam was like, no, I think this is it. This looks just like it. And he's been here all of his life, so he born and raised. So I took his word for it, but it was renamed a bar named Priya. So we go in, and this is the most magical thing. It's dead in there, all right? And it's a cool little place.
Maybe six people in there, maybe.
It's got a dance floor area. It's got two little, it used to be a hookah lounge, so it's got two little private curtained rooms that you can just, sit there and just, enjoy yourself, hit a hookah or something like that.
Right.
So we're going in there, and I'm ordering a drink, and I'm in a cocktail mood. So I'm like, you know what? Cocktail mood. This place is nice and dark. I got a nice little vibe in here. I like it. We're good people. I'm going to get me a Grand Marnier. Neat. In a rocks glass, one of my go-to chill drinks. Mm-hmm. Usually it's around $8 or $9 for this drink. So I get my bar tab because I'm thinking, okay, I'm just going to have one because this is not a cheap drink and I don't want to drink these all night. He gives me my tab and it's $4. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. And I looked at the bartender. I'm like, look, I'm all for spending the, you know, $4 for this drink, but is this correct? And he's like, oh yeah, man, drinks are half price.
Dang.
All drinks? Yeah. And he's like, yeah. I don't think anyone had a bar tab. We got nice. No one had a bar tab over $20.
Wow. I went to the washroom first and then I came out and I got Tanya and I our drinks and I got like, I just had a vodka soda and she had a, amaretto sour. And he goes, that'll be like $7. And then I thought, like, I pulled it to him, I'm like, he must have meant 17. He must have meant 17. So I like pull it like a 20 or whatever. And he comes back. He's like, I'm sorry, but, did you say $7? He's like, yep, $7. I'm like, you know, I ordered two drinks, right? He's like, yep, no, half price drinks. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be a good night.
And I'm like, how is this motherfucker dead? Why is this place not packed?
Exactly. Even when we're outside, like, you know, having a smoke here or there, just like kind of chilling outside. We're like half price drinks in here, like trying to give them business and shit like that. Like if people are just like walking by and like, the place looks nice. There's nothing like dingy about it. I think they were
it's gorgeous.
Just not too many people were going in there.
To be fair, it was like a Tuesday night. So
that is true. Yeah. It got busier as we left though. There was a big group kind
of
came in.
It did. I was actually surprised at the amount of volume by the time we were leaving the bar, the amount of volume on a Tuesday night. Yeah. Cause when we were walking there, it was like a ghost town, but by the time we were leaving, it was picking up. But actually, Jeff, I don't know if you heard this, but Tanya and Megan both went up to get a drink and they did find out that that place is actually closing. So they needed to basically red dot clearance all of their drinks.
Yeah.
And they just basically made everything half price. We lucked out. That was a good
time. Even Sam, cause he hasn't been drinking much lately cause he's quit smoking. He's like lost a lot of weight and he's pretty freaking ripped dude. Like he's at the gym all the time. Something like I should learn a lesson or two from him, but he's hasn't drank that much like in a while. And he even had like, cause you think he had friends over a couple nights earlier. He went out for drinks and had like five or six drinks. And then he probably downed at least four or something when we were out. So even he was like, I can't turn down half price drinks. This is amazing.
Yeah. and I want to say that to Sam, man, it was good seeing him again. He listens to the show regularly. I mean, he's just a really, really great dude. This is the second time that I've met him. And it's been a pleasure both times. He's, so down to earth, really cool talker. I mean, he's just a great dude. I could hang with him a lot. So Sam, if you're hearing this, let's plan some shit.
Yep. And we got to get you out on the show too.
Oh, absolutely. Like we did talk about that.
Cool. Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, it was overall a really good week. And awesome. Then just yesterday we got home probably around like 4 o'clock and I just parked my ass on the couch and did like nothing.
Just chill.
So it was awesome.
Just chilled. Yeah. And it was lovely. Dead. It was lovely seeing Tanya too. We miss both of you guys. So it was definitely have the post vacation chorny blues for sure.
The lack of chorny blues.
The lack of chorny. Need more chorny in your life.
I need more chorny.
Mm-hmm.
Need it. I fiend it. So
you know what we did do?
What did we do?
Because we can talk about this. We watched Evo one of the nights. One of the nights we kind of came home relatively early and then I don't know what we did. The girls were in bed and we're like, oh, let's watch some Evo and we watched the last two semifinals and the grand finals of the Ultra Street Fighter 4, and that shit was intense.
It was great. I seen a lot of things from like final round earlier in this year's and everything when you know Jason was still around and he's still around, but you know more around locally, and you know we've seen a lot of cool videos. You know some of those like bursts of like screaming when an awesome an awesome finish happens or something.
Yeah.
But you know we've seen that, so you've come to understand that you're gonna see some of this happen. But I gotta tell you, that was some of the most entertaining, fun, and exciting. And this is coming from someone who's not a big Evo follower. I've definitely fallen off the fighting game bandwagon a bit. But that was the most exciting group of matches that we watched because we watched the semifinals and the finals of the Street Fighter.
Yeah, so versus Infiltration, who was down and saw him bust out Helen, or not Helen, I can't remember her name.
Elena?
Elena, that's it. Yeah. Yes. And then come back and win that one and go on to fight because all the matches went down to the last round,
all of them.
Like last match,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it was so exciting. Like some of the shit, like some of the clutch stuff that happened. Me and Travis were like, oh fuck, yeah. That was, oh shit.
And the finals were special too because Gamer B was coming from the losers bracket, so he had to win two series in a row.
Two sets.
Enabled to win, and he made it to the second set final round, and it was just. It was the most fun watching something. I mean, that's including sports. Like, I can't remember a Super Bowl. Maybe since the Saints won the Super Bowl, that's been like the most intense. Like, yeah. I guess we can call it sport-ish.
Oh, that's e-sport.
Like,
e-sport.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know? It's getting covered. It got coverage on ESPN.
A little bit. Yeah, they did cover some stuff on there. Yeah,
yeah.
That
so, it did. So, you know, it was really cool. It got me to where I'm excited for Street Fighter V. And I'm telling you, that beta, guys. Can we get on that beta?
Well, we'll talk about it later. Distractions.
A little foreshadowing. But it got me actually hyped for it and wanting me to follow the fighting game scene a little bit closer because it was just so fun. It was really a blast. So but any other highlights, man? Aside from seeing your boy?
Can't think right now. Well, there was also that other lightning storm when we went down to the Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah.
We got some shit and there was like so much lightning everywhere. It didn't rain at all. Like there's no rain, just lightning everywhere. Like it was the first time I was actually scared of the lightning because it was so like just like literally every like 5 seconds mm-hmm. there was lightning striking somewhere. I was like, this is crazy. And a lot of thunder, but no rain.
No rain. Funny side note, it's been pouring since the day you
left.
Since
we left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been pouring, so. But anyway. That's pretty much it. I guess we can pass the conch shell over to my future roommate, Chris.
Not a lot going on. It's just been a really, really rough week.
And I'm you should have came and hang, man.
Dude, I honestly probably would have if I would have had time, but I've got so much shit going on at work right now. I don't know if I could take a day to catch my breath.
I heard a song once and it said, time is on your side, so you should have came.
It's really not. Yeah.
Say that for your boss.
I really don't have anything to add. It was just a rough couple weeks, at work. And other than that, we did take the family to go see Inside Out. That was a really good movie. It was a fantastic movie.
It's supposed to be great.
I think it might be my favorite, Pixar movie at this point.
That's the general consensus.
Yeah, it was fantastic, and my kids loved it, and it was really good for Liam because he's just now starting to understand, you know, feelings and that kind of thing, and now he, you know, when he gets angry, he says, you know, angry took over the controls, and you know, things like that, or anger took over the controls, and you know, it's interesting to see how he took to that movie, and actually how much he absorbed from it and actually how much he got from it. Anybody who has kids, go see that movie. It's really, really good.
Or if you don't have kids, even if you don't have kids, it's great for adults too.
It's really, really good for adults too. Yeah. It's fantastic. And then I think this weekend we're going to go, Crystal and I are going to, ditch the kids with the in-laws and, go see Terminator. So, we'll see how that works out.
I'm glad you said in your, you know, with like your,
with the in-laws.
With the in-laws.
With the in-laws.
Because like,
we're going to leave them at home. We're going to let the dogs watch them. It's going to be great.
We're just going to pour a big old bowl, like a salad bowl of Skittles.
Pretty much. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. So that should be fun. But it's, other than that, it's been rough. So. But there's been a lot of game playing, and we should talk about some of that. So why don't you guys talk about what's distracting you? And we'll start with Jeff.
Played some more Witcher 3.
I need to get back to that.
The patch did more bad than good. They made it so the movement feels more natural, which I didn't have too much of a problem with the way he controlled before.
Yeah, I don't know why there was such an issue there. I never really had an issue with it, but I haven't played it a ton. So
now it's just tighter, so it doesn't have that like kind of... Because before he kind of moved, like he had a little bit of inertia. Sort of, like, especially when you're turning, so now he doesn't really have that.
They were trying to fix the, like, clumsy situations when you're indoors and, like, tight spaces. That's what they were trying to rectify.
It does kind of fix that a bit. Okay. They added a stash, so you can stash, like, if you have, like, you know, you're running a room on your character, you can put stuff in, like, a chest kind
which
of
which is huge. That's because good, yeah. The encumbrance issue was a big... And I know you can get saddlebags to fit your horse, and it's like, but some of us don't want to do those fucking horse races. Nah. Some of us don't want to.
You can find them, though. I haven't had a problem with the encumbrance things yet. So I've found some saddlebags put on my horse, and, yeah. So I haven't had a need for it yet. And I sell almost everything if I'm not using it. I'll break that shit down. What else did they do with it? They give you the stash. They added in another inventory slot for your books. But the problem is on console, the frame rate seems to fluctuate more. There seems to be more pop-in because I wasn't really noticing it before. And yesterday I'm like, what the fuck? I'm noticing pop-in.
Mm-hmm.
There's more visual glitches, weird stuff. And, so I'm noticing more things wrong with it than what they fixed since the patch came out. Like, more audio glitches and shit. So I looked up, yeah, apparently it's a thing now. On consoles, the patch is kind of not doing so hot. So hopefully they'll have a patch out to patch the patch.
Patch the patch, that's right.
To at least get it back running how it was before. But I'm still liking it. I'm still kicking away at it. I'll do a few, quests each day or whatever. The game's so long.
I'm gonna try and get back to it now that I'm finished up with Batman, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Nice, we'll do Batman last. I'm doing a lot of Rocket League.
Yeah.
Play some of that.
Oh man,
too.
That game is so fun.
Yeah, it is fun. It's good shit.
We had fun with it on PS3 when we were playing Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Power Battle Cars.
And well done, sir. Well done.
I appreciate it. Thanks. We had fun with that, but there wasn't a lot of the VG Evo crew playing it, you know, a lot of the times. I mean, Jack Bauer played it way more than anyone that I know in our circle, but, we played a good bit of it for, you know, at least a month, but there's something about, Rocket League that I don't know if it's just we have a closer group of gamers to play with on a nightly basis that makes Rocket League such a more entrancing experience than the previous title on PS3. And, I'm not seeing that much difference in the games. You know, you got a little bit of a graphical boost. You can customize cards, which is great. I mean, that's something that you really didn't have very much in the PS3 version. But, and this is great. You're constantly unlocking stuff. It makes you want to try out new cars, even though there's nothing that changes with the speed. There is a difference with the size of your vehicle since this is a physics based game. So if you want to get for instance, if you're playing goalie, you know, you're going to be playing goalie, you want to have the van because you just have more physical real estate that makes up your car to block shots and everything. Yeah. It makes it really, really helpful instead
Sweet Tooth.
Or Sweet Tooth. Sweet Tooth is pretty great. But now Sweet Tooth does, I feel, for some reason, is a little more clunky than the other cars. I don't know. I know it controls the same, but there's just something about it that I play with Sweet Tooth once or twice, and something's different. Something is different with that vehicle. I haven't been able to pinpoint it yet, but yeah, it's kind of rough to play with. But it looks cool. I don't know, I guess. But yeah, no, it's just a blast, man. Just getting a group of friends together and just enjoying the hell out of this title. I like it a lot.
I do wish people played more like a sport, though. Like for almost everyone I play with,
that's the
issue. It's like watching like a, I don't know, kindergarten soccer league or something like that, where everyone is just following the ball.
Right.
Like no one's playing like left wing, right wing, center, like midfield, like, and it would be so much easier. It would be a lot easier to dominate teams if people played like that.
We're getting a little better about that. Some of us are like, most of the time when we were playing last night, we had one person hanging back near the goal. And, you know, if mm-hmm. the ball was on, you know, it's just like playing soccer when you were a kid. If you were on the defense, then you were back by the goal if the ball was on your side of the field. And if it was on the other side of the field, you were up at the halfway mark. So
mm-hmm.
it was kind of.
Yeah, that's the way it should be played.
Yeah. And that's the way that we, you know, and I'll tell you what, Travis is a fantastic fucking goalie, dude. He is. I mean, it's like every time that ball got over there, it just went flying. I was like, fucking nice block, Travis. That was awesome. So
I do get a little greedy sometimes because when we're threatening the opposing team's goal, I'll creep up to around mid pitch. And
no, but
I will,
that's what you should be doing because you're in perfect placement if the ball gets centered to shoot it in.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, it's like as the goalie, you shouldn't just be defending the goal. You should be scoring goals because that's just the way this particular game works because you can only have four players at one time. So, you know, I think it works out that way. But sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll admit that, you know, I've been one to just drive around, track the ball. I mean, that's
right.
Oh yeah. That's what I always like. Yeah. But it kind of gets to that.
It's a testament to how really great this game is. First of all, this is like easily the sleeper, like the dark horse of this gaming year for sure. Cause I don't think anyone expected to just try this game out because it helps that it was free for PS Plus.
Exactly. And I was going to say, how smart was it for them to make
it? Really, I would never have got it if it was paid for.
Oh, right. No way. I mean, it's like, well, Supersonic Acrobatic, I didn't play that much. I totally would.
I think even if it was paid, not as many people would be playing it, but I think word of mouth would have spread well enough. And
I still think it would have.
Yeah, it would have spread. But it's a testament to how fun this game is. To kind of jump back to what Jeff was saying, that when you're playing with a bunch of randoms, you're not in a group of people you know to be able to communicate with, everybody kind of rushes to the ball. So Jeff and I were having kind of a frustrating time. I say frustrating in air quotes, though.
Because
it was still really, really fun because the game is just crafted so well.
Travis didn't mention something.
It's hard to get really mad at that game.
Yeah, yeah, we were playing at my house and, we were passing the controller back and forth in between each game and everything. And every single person, every random we played with was just rushing for the ball. And it just got to the point where we just had to sit back. We learned that everyone else is going to go for the ball.
We're going to play defense because that's the only way it's going to get done.
That's the only way. So as something as frustrating as that happens, we still had a good time. And like I said, again, huge testament to what Psyonix did. So I would love to, see, you know, this game get better and better because again, there are some more opportunities with this game and there are with the netcode, but I think they are diligently working to get those issues cleared up because there's some network issues. You'll get in some games where lag's really, really, really bad. So they're working on that to make it a more complete, and a more easily playable package. Because the first night, they issued a patch, I think, within the first 36 hours of the game's release. Because me and Omer were trying to get into matches, and it was just impossible. Like, there was no connection whatsoever. You would have to wait up to in between 5 and 10 minutes to pick up a public match. Not even the private matches didn't work, period, when it first released.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's, goddamn, I love that fucking game, man. It's one of those games, even if we have a Destiny night, I can almost guarantee that when everybody's done, like on the Tuesday reset, everybody's got their nightfalls done, we're jumping over the Rocket League. It's just something that's now gonna happen. So,
absolutely. I think so.
Yeah, I dig it.
That's good. Jeff, what else you got?
What else, Jeff?
The only other thing is Batman, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Oh, okay. Travis, what else you got?
Let's see. Again, Batman. We'll talk about that later. I finished a couple of things. First things first. A couple of Telltale joints dropped, and I wanted to after Jeff left. I wanted to go ahead and knock those out. Which I was kind of sad about because I usually play Telltale games day one. Like I can't wait to jump into those. But I ended up playing Borderlands Episode 3 about 2 weeks late. And I'm kicking myself for doing that because it is a phenomenal, phenomenal episode.
Why are you kicking yourself? Just because you played it later?
Because I should have played it day one. I should have.
Would that
have
changed your enjoyment of the game, though?
It would have made it better, Jeff. It would have made it so much better. you don't even know. No, it's great, man. Like, if there's one thing Telltale can do, you know, albeit not universally, but they just get, when they pick up an IP for these games, they fucking get the world that they are embracing, that they're building, or they're building upon. I can say after 3 episodes, and I love those Walking Dead games. Again, I'll say it. I am a huge Walking Dead mark. I eat, breathe, and shit everything Walking Dead, but though that Borderlands game, so far up to 3 episodes, is my favorite Telltale series.
Wow.
Without a doubt. Hmm. It is, it almost feels like they have the Borderlands writers writing for them, which they don't. It's their internal Telltale team. And they just get it. It's funny. It's witty. You give it. It's kind of hard for a comedy anything, but even more so for video games, because video games have failed with like the comedy aspect of it. What was that one shitty ass game? Will Arnett was the main character, Matt Hazard, where it was guys, this is the comedy video game you've been waiting for. And it was terrible because they can only like make fun of themselves. The writing just wasn't there. But these guys, Telltale is able to write a wonderful comedic script, but still keep the focus on what you're doing in the gameplay, the serious issues that are happening in the story, and also add on top of that characters that you care about. Because in movies, TV shows, video games, when they deliver comedy, you don't have there's not any gravity in the characters. That kind of they're goofy and they're sarcastic and they're fun, but they also, you take them seriously, and that is very rare in the comedy genre in any medium. And they nail it. They just fucking nail it. I mean, hands down, my favorite Telltale series to boot, like, for right now. So that was great. And then, staying on the Telltale tip, I finished up the Game of Thrones episode 5. And, it's good. And like I said, Telltale, very, very good at what they do when they embrace an IP that they've collected. I think Game of Thrones has been more hit and miss than their other games, their other series. But this series, this episode which is the penultimate episode. So you're based on the Game of Thrones, style, you're kind of expecting something to happen at the end, as you know, Game of Thrones on HBO is prone to do with their second to last episode. So, they deliver without a doubt, they deliver. With that, because there's a final scene that's captivating, breathtaking, and gives you one of the most, if not the toughest Telltale game decision I've ever faced. Almost to a point where I immediately wanted to start that episode over again just to have a second save, just so I know how it's going to change in the next episode, because this is one of the rare situations where you make a decision where it has to be completely different in that video game in episode 6 when it releases, from start to finish, completely different. And Telltale's never done that before. Not many video games have ever done that before, period. So I'm really excited, not just to get to episode 6, but to restart the series again and see what happens when the other decision is made. So I'm happy with it. The pacing is off a little bit, as the Game of Thrones games has been. I don't know if it's just a little more rushed than usual. I was complaining a little bit online about how long it's taking for the Borderlands games to come out, because this is one of the biggest lapses, in between episodes, when you're looking at Borderlands. But I'm not going to complain about it anymore, because the quality is so far above anything else Telltale has done for me that I'm okay with that. Because Game of Thrones, I think between 1 and 2 took a little time, but they've been kind of pumping Game of Thrones out pretty quickly since then. But I'm starting to see a small dip in quality. But it's Telltale, so it's still quality.
Well, it's maybe just, if you played Game of Thrones the day it came out, Travis, you would have liked it more.
It might have been better.
I know that day two download was it was rough. It was really rough. It's a huge difference, man. You got to play it day one. What else did I play? I think a little bit more Far Cry. I'm starting to get a better second opinion on that game. When I first played it, it just seemed like Far Cry 3.5, and it still kind of is. But now I'm a little bit more refreshed. So I'm enjoying it a lot more. I'm starting to get to the point where I'm getting some new weapons, some new tactics to dispatch all my enemies that were not in Far Cry 3. So I'm enjoying it a lot more. So, but haven't dug too deep into that. And no Destiny this week, guys. I mean, I tried to solo a Nightfall with Jeff next to me, and I failed after about 10 minutes, and that was that. That was my Destiny talk.
It's hard to solo that one, so.
Yeah, triple burn's pretty brutal. So.
Yeah, it is. Especially on
so, yeah. Board. Yeah. That's it for me, except for Batman. So, Chris, what about you, bud?
Okay, so we talked about Rocket League a bit. I will mention Destiny only to say that after we did our Nightfalls on Tuesday, we did Salvage, and there's one trophy that's 20 captures in Salvage, and we just forced ourselves through that, and I now have the Platinum trophy for Destiny. So
you got it. Congrats.
That is that. Salvage sucks. Don't play it. It's horrible.
Don't
fuck
get the Platinum
that mode. Okay. No, seriously. I mean, it got to the point where it was me, Slugga, and Ken. And it got to the point where we were just like, oh, there's a salvage point. Let's just go there and capture it. And then we're just going to go away because they're going to destroy our probe. And then it's not going to be a big deal. Because all you have to do is capture it. You don't have to defend it. You just have to capture it. Okay. So, you know, information for you if you ever try to go for it. And then outside of that, it was Batman. Lots and lots and lots of Batman. I finished the main
did
story.
You read it?
Finished the main story.
Okay, so we all finished the main story,
it seems like.
Indeed.
I have not seen the main ending, the major ending, I should say.
Nor have I.
Yeah. But for what it was an interesting way that the game ended. But the game itself is, outside of being forced into the Batmobile and literally rage quitting on one part, and I have a feeling that you guys know exactly what I'm talking about.
The tank part? There's a bunch of parts.
The drill.
With the Batmobile.
The drill.
The drill.
The drill.
Oh, the drill.
Rage quit on the drill. I was like, F this. I'm done. I need like 2 days to cool off. And I played Rocket League and all that other stuff. And, you know, and then went back to it. But yeah, the drill made me rage quit. But outside, I mean, that's the thing. It's like when you're actually Batman, and someone asked me about this today, the other day. And I think it was my buddy Jerry. He was asking me, he's like, he was talking about how he thought this was the best of the Arkham series. And I was like, you know, I can get behind the Batman parts being the best of the Batman Arkham series. But because the Batmobile was in there, it is not the best game in the series, in my opinion.
It brings it down. I agree with the same thing.
And that's saying something because the rest of the game is really, really good. It's just that the Batmobile really brings it down because they force it down your throat. It's like, I don't want to use it. Don't make me use it if I don't want to use it. You know, it's like, and it doesn't control well in actual car mode. You know, the tank mode is fine. I don't mind the tank mode parts. That's fine. But when you are making me chase around like, the lieutenants in the armored vans, I'm like, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. That's annoying. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys upgraded it, but once I upgraded that grapple to the hit X five times, it's like, fuck that.
I stuck with grappling.
Yeah. Ugh, just soaring over. It was like, and it was like I was using, the Batmobile just to gain enough speed to get that good boost so you get some really good height. Yeah. I didn't need that anymore. I was like, oh, well, I'm done with you, you know? I just use the grappling hook all the time. So, but yeah, I mean, it was fantastic. It could have really been the best one.
But the thing that separates it from the best one for me is, it's the Batmobile only because I know I'll try to replay it and just get to an annoying part with the Batmobile that I know I didn't like the first time playing. I'll be like, you know what? I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
But where the other Arkham games, there's not really those moments in them for me.
Right.
Like I have no problem replaying them all the way through.
I will say though, especially in the argument, that a lot of people are having about whether this is the best Arkham game or not. I really, really thoroughly enjoyed, if you stick with nothing but the story missions, I thoroughly enjoyed every single aspect of that game that was post the drill. Everything
no, I
past
agree.
That
I agree.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Was
I agree.
Probably awesome. Yeah. Some of the best, game, cause there is a boss fight where you're fighting a sniper and a lot of minions with a whole bunch of different tech that you have to like dodge around and flying drones at the same time. That was exhilarating. It was really, really fun. It pushed your Batman skills to the limit, your silent predator skills to the limit. And I really enjoyed that, but the Rocksteady did a really, really fantastic job with the storyline in that last hour of the game. just really, really novel ways to kind of wrap everything up. I really, really enjoyed it. And I think when you guys eventually do get the final ending, because I did get the final ending via YouTube, and there's some one or two hints that kind of explain, because, you know, Jason's talked to us in emails saying how it's kind of ambiguous, and it is to a point, but I think there's some hints somewhere in that that first ending that kind of winks that, hey, maybe you should pay attention to this little thing that's happening right here to explain the very end of the game. And some things do kind of make sense, but and again, to another one of Jason's points, I watched it on YouTube. If I went and played through all 243 Riddler trophies to get that ending, I'd be pissed.
I want to know who at Rocksteady thinks that was a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
Like, who is that guy? Because I want to punch him. I really do.
But that's always
do.
Been a thing. I want to punch always, him. That's always been a thing.
And you would think they would learn, Travis. You'd think they'd fucking learn. But they don't. Who thought that was a good idea? It's nothing but annoying tedium. It's like, if you want to have collectibles, that's fine. But you don't need 240 of them.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous. And then some of those aren't just, hey, look, I found one and I'm going to pick it up. No. Some of those take 10, 15, 20, or if you don't have a wiki, an hour to fucking find out how to get that goddamn trophy. And it's a pain.
Because you have
ass.
To electrify this thing, and then you have to get back into the Batmobile, and you have to pull on this thing, and then you have to jump out, and you have to electrify this thing now, and then get back in the Batmobile, let go of this thing, go grab this thing, pull on it. For one freaking Riddler trophy that happened. It's
they try to help you out, because when you have detective mode on, you can, activate detective mode and look around. And if you see a guy that's like glowing green, you can interrogate him and eventually, have the icons to show you where all the Riddler trophies
pop up.
They had
that one in the other one too.
Yeah. And that helps. And that does help. But there are actually some Riddler trophies and hard riddles that don't show up because they're in story mission areas that are in buildings, underground, and those will not show up whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of hard to try to go back and find those things because you don't know they're there. So you'd be missing two or three trophies, and it's like, good luck finding it because the game's not going to help you.
Yeah, no doubt.
So...
these are nitpicks. I don't get it. These are nitpicks. The game is fun.
It was fun. Yeah, it was great.
It was a lot of fun.
I enjoyed it.
And I appreciated that. I felt like in this game, I had more options of how I can approach an encounter. There was one particular encounter that comes to mind. It was a tower, one of the watchtowers that you had to take down.
Right.
And there were a bunch of dudes on the roof of this building, and it was I'm not going to say that because that would spoil something, but it's on the rooftop of this building, and there's like two electric dudes, there's like two of the guys with swords, there's like two brutes, like the big armored guys, then there's like two or three more guys walking around with guns, and then two guys walking around with bats, and it's like, I tried to just jump in there and take care of it, and I tried like three or four times and I got beat up every time. But the building was arranged in such a way that I could kind of move around a lower portion of the roof, and I could use detective mode to determine where they were. So I would jump up, take out one guy real quick, and then jump off the roof and then circle around because they would draw all their attention to one side and jump up, do it again. And then when there were like six or seven guys left, I was able to jump up, sneak over, do a fear takedown, get like five of them, and then there were only like two or three guys left. So I appreciate that there was an opportunity to approach that encounter in a different way. So I don't feel like that there was as much of that in the other games. That might just be me, though. I don't know.
No, you're pretty right. you're pretty right. I didn't find myself getting really, really good at the combat and all the different combinations. In regards to, this guy is electrified, so you have to use this, and, this guy has a knife, you have to use this. I didn't get truly comfortable with it until, like, the last 2 hours of the game.
Yeah.
So the last 2 hours were great, because I got more comfortable with the controls, but, I mean, before then, I was always struggling. Like, I had to have Jeff take care of one of the Asriel missions for me, where you can't get hit, because I just... a guy would always get a shot in on me, and I was getting pissed.
Yeah, there. I think it was actually of the Azrael ones. I want to say there were four or five of them. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was the third one. It was okay. It was the I'm going to say the third to last. Like, there were the two after the one that I had problems with. I had no problem with that. Like, because the last one was pretty much all dudes with the swords. And then there was one before that kind of a just a larger group of guys. But the second or third one actually gave me quite a few problems. I had to try it like six or seven times, and
it might have been the third one because that was the one I had to hand Jeff the controller to before I threw my shit through the microwave.
Yeah, the microwave in the same room.
It still
as
took me like five or six times. Yeah. Too.
Yeah. Oh no, when I'm playing games, I set the microwave right next to me so I can constantly heat up snacks.
Oh, okay, yeah, Hot Pockets, right?
Jeff mm-hmm. saw it. It was great.
Okay.
Lean pockets. I got to keep it track.
Oh, okay. Yeah, right. Yeah. Got it. Yeah, that's right. Keep that that womanly figure. Yeah, but I mean, I that's really all I've got to say right now. I have been going and cleaning up some of the other side missions because I'm interested in some of those.
I've done a lot of them.
Most of them. I kind of want to do everything but the Riddler trophy. You know?
Oh yeah, totally do that.
So, I think I might be doing that. I'm wondering if we're ever going to see. So how do I put this? How the after the ending antagonist? Can I say it that way?
That's not the Riddler. Antagonist?
You know, the Riddler. Yeah, it's the after ending antagonist. That's not the Riddler. But I'm wondering if there's a part where you actually confront.
Don't bother with it.
Don't bother with it.
Yeah.
Just what I've been told. You're gonna do it anyway after doing if you're doing all the side missions. But I've heard that confrontation is pretty balls.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yep.
Pretty balls.
Oh, and Jeff, you were totally right. They pretty much force who the Arkham Knight is down your throat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, by the time we got there, I was like, well, I know who it is. It's like, exactly. He took his mask off and was like, oh, I'm so surprised. You know, it's just one of those
things. Also, Travis kept saying something while we were there, and I wanted to spoil something again. Not spoil it for him, but he kept making this, like, thing that the game was doing and how it was kind of like, shitty that they're doing it, and I just want to be like, "Oh, you're so wrong." I want to say something right now.
I know exactly. We were at the beach.
I want to talk about these on break because I want to hear what you guys.
Yeah,
are saying,
sure, so. Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I overall it was a good experience.
I think I nailed that prediction too with the whole. It's pretty much out there that the Joker's in this game. Like,
sure,
it's not even like a thing. And yep, nailed it. Nailed even it. More so than what I thought it was going to be. Like, he is basically in it the entire game.
But yeah. The way they utilize the Joker is one of the most novel ways.
It's great.
So great.
It really was super interesting. I appreciated that a lot.
And the resolution is, again, what I was saying about Rocksteady.
Really cool.
Well written. Well done.
I agree.
It feels like it was straight from a comic book, but not like super campy like a comic book. It kind of made sense the way it's resolved. So I was actually my favorite part of the entire game, to be honest.
Also a very
with you.
Cool gameplay moment.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, we can talk about Batman again after or something, but it was good.
Yeah. I liked it. All of our problems, nitpicky. It is a good game.
Yeah. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Hey, why don't we take a break?
Sure.
We'll come back and talk some news, and then we'll do new releases, possibly a new question of the week, and then we'll get out of here. So stay with us.
Sounds good.
And we'll be right back.
Do it.
It's time to wake up. Welcome back.
You welcome back.
Yeah. You welcome back. Well, you're at home now, so
back.
Welcome back to your home.
Thank you.
Let's talk some news. We've got some things to cover. I know that Jeff has got a few things to talk about. So what do you got?
We got five things in the docket that are
five
pretty important.
Things. Wow.
The number one thing, we did not record last week.
That's true.
We won't go into too much details on this because, every podcast has done it and, it's been all over the news. I'm sure people don't want to be, you know, reflecting on this, but unfortunately, Iwata passed away from Nintendo, last week.
Yeah, this was a huge
week and a half ago. So, he was like an icon, like for a lot of people. And
very much was. And he ran that company relatively well. I mean, I think I disagree with like the decisions, some of the decisions that he made with like
he's
the Wii U and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, for overall, he's been fantastic for that company. And, you know, it's going to be hard to replace someone like that.
Somebody actually had the audacity to message me and say that they thought it might have been a conspiracy that he died. Cause like, it's been rumors that Nintendo's wanted him out for a long time.
He was taken out.
But I mean, come on. Yeah, exactly. And like, no, dude. Yeah. They might not have been happy with him. Like, cause remember, he was one of the guys who took a huge pay cut.
Yeah.
When shit happened with the Wii U and everything. Yeah. And he took like a huge hit.
Took like
his
a half salary. He took 50% of his salary back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, don't even know. The guy had a terrible disease and, unfortunately.
Yeah, no doubt.
Beat him, but I mean, you know what? His legacy is going to live on all his games, and I don't think there's a single person who plays video games out there that has never loved at least one of the games that he's had his hand in.
Sure.
And that guy still did programming, dude. Like, even though he was like CEO of like, Nintendo,
he
actually still
that.
Did programming for like Smash Brothers. Like, he actually, like, yeah, he still did some of the stuff that no other CEO in their right mind would ever do in today's society for companies. So.
Do you think he like sat down with development teams? Like, during QA cycles, like that kind of thing. I mean, that's something, man. When you're talking about a CEO that's getting down there and, you know, doing that kind of thing, I mean, that's
rolling up his sleeves, getting dirty.
I think it was Smash Brothers for GameCube that had like a bunch of bugs, bunch of problems and they weren't going to make date. And he actually said, fuck it. You know what? I'm taking it. I will get rid of these things. And he did it himself, like went through and did his own programming and dumb shit like that.
Yep. Yeah.
That's crazy.
There you go. Do you think we see changes from Nintendo?
I think business wise, I think definitely you will, because I think that the next person, like I guess Miyamoto and I always forget the other guy's name. They're taking his spot indefinitely, I guess.
Yeah,
business
guy. So Miyamoto, I don't think Miyamoto takes over.
He's not gonna have anything to do with the business. No, he's just gonna be
he wants to make games. That's what he does, and that's what he should do. That's what he should continue to do. Cause the dude's a freaking genius.
Stick with what you're good at.
That's right. That's right. So I think they actually have the right guys. Like it's Miyamoto and, you know, as you said, is that other guy and I cannot remember his name.
Are you talking about Fizume?
No, not Fizume. There's another guy in Japan that's helping Miyamoto, run the company while they work on finding a new CEO. And I think it's going to be him cause he's the more business minded of the two. And, you know, he hasn't really worked on games as much as Miyamoto has in the past, in the recent past. I hope that they put him in there because that's the right, I think that would be the right thing. Putting Miyamoto in as CEO,
it would
be a disservice to him. Yeah. You know, I don't think that's what he wants to do anyway. So,
we lost a legend basically, but it's a legend that will, well, continue to be a legend. He'll forever be always connected to Nintendo, and they'll, Travis said off the air that they'll probably have, some kind of Iwata kind of character, something in their games to kind of throw back towards him. So.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucks. So. Yeah,
that was a huge blow for the industry as a whole.
Yep.
Yep.
It was.
All right.
We probably should end it with that because it's hard to go to that and be like other shit. But
no, we got to cheer up now. We got to cheer up. Give me something good.
So,
give me something good.
Kojima and Del Toro still want to work on something, even though the whole PT thing kind of got canceled and not
because Konami is dumb.
They're
all of a sudden,
they're just crazy.
I don't know what
happened
to that company. That was a publisher once when we actually did. Like
we did our favorite.
We did our favorite
publishers. That was your number one.
And that was my number one. And now I'm looking at Konami and I'm like, what the frack happened to you?
Yeah, Kojima, there had to have been some sort of shakeup between Kojima Productions and Konami, obviously. I mean, Kojima has been very, very outspoken in terms of games that he wants to create and what he wants to do. And he says he's going to be working on whether he makes them or not. And it's obviously not in the realm of what direction Konami wants to go in.
And I'm not going to paint Kojima as being totally innocent either. Like, we don't know what happened behind the scenes.
No,
for all we know, he might be really impossible to work with. We don't know. But Konami's not really making it easy on them to not look like the asshole in the situation.
I mean, yeah, you never know. Kojima may have been massively overspending. I mean, his ventures are super, you know, super expensive to make. I mean, you can probably say arguably he makes some of the most expensive games out there. And
No doubt.
For sure. I think Metal Gear Solid 4 barely made their money back because it doesn't like it. It sells really well, but that game was—I remember—it was by far the most expensive video game ever made at the time.
At the time, yeah,
like,
no doubt.
It was like 30 million or something. It was something crazy,
and even more
sold
than 30
like,
million,
a decent amount. I thought it was around 30. That's what I thought it was, but yeah, it could be higher than that. But yeah, so who knows? But he still wants to work with Del Toro on something. How that's going to happen? Who knows? Kickstarter maybe, or if they make their own company, or he makes his own company.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But yeah, see what happens. Square Enix.
Hold on,
said
before
that,
we move on.
Mm-hmm.
List of the most expensive video games to develop: Metal Gear Solid 4, 2008. Development cost $70 million.
Oh my god,
$70 million.
That's
total
insane.
Cost with inflation. Never mind.
Now
so,
is
yeah,
that
it cost $70 million to?
Is that including marketing?
Marketing is blank. So it no, it is not including marketing.
Yeah,
it doesn't look like
that's okay. That you would have to think that
because I know Destiny has that now that has the biggest $500 million. But
not,
of course,
not,
of
actually,
marketing.
It doesn't. Destiny's number five. If this list
what's
is
number
accurate,
one, then
well, actually, this list
I'm
does not have
positive.
The marketing cost for it because 140 million to develop for
because Destiny was $500 million in total.
Yeah, something like
that
with the marketing cost. Right now, Grand Theft Auto 5 has, but this is Wikipedia, so I mean, it's not accurate.
So you know it's true.
It's on the internet, so it has
take
to be
that
true.
As fucking by yeah.
So
that fact.
Apparently, right now, it probably is Destiny based on what you're saying because that is true. They put a lot of marketing into it, but Grand Theft Auto 5 is, according to this, has the top.
That makes sense.
$137 million to develop, $128 million. For marketing.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto 5 probably sold the most out of all of those games. So they made their money.
Probably, most definitely.
Yeah, I would say most definitely.
Yeah, I would not doubt that one.
Probably not even close.
Yeah.
So Square Enix came out and said they released their Tomb Raider, Rise of Tomb Raider release date. So the Xbox One version, of course, coming out this November. PC version is going to come out in early 2016, and the PS4 version is going to be 1 year from the Xbox One release, so probably November 2016. So, pretty much exactly 1 year.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's where the time exclusivity ends, I guess. It's going to be tough. You know what? I'm sure it's Square Enix or Microsoft. Well, it's definitely not Microsoft making the timetable on next year, but it's releasing on the same day as Fallout 4 on Xbox One.
Yeah.
And that's going to put it right around Uncharted 4 for PS4.
Yep.
For the
that's
PC
not really
version.
A good situation.
PC version.
No. Oh, that's right. Because,
Uncharted
is not
got
next
delayed.
Fall.
Yeah, it got
that's
delayed.
Right. It's not. I keep thinking Uncharted 4 is next fall. Not
no,
next
it's spring.
Fall.
It's spring.
Gotcha. Okay. But, that
winter, actually, no. I think it's going to be winter. It's going to be before March, first quarter.
Right.
I believe.
Before March?
I think so.
Okay, that's all right then. Yeah,
I think so, Chris is right.
I thought they were going to put it up against, like, Uncharted again. Yeah, like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I mean, if you guys remember, one of my predictions for this year was that that Uncharted was going to come out this year and it was going to go head to head with Tomb Raider.
Oh, with Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that didn't happen, obviously, but you know, that's
okay. That's not too bad then. But that's where you're going to see it on PS4. So if you're holding out, you have 1 year to hold out.
I'll probably just pick it up on PC at that point. So.
Yeah, why don't you just get an Xbox, you asshole?
I'm going to get an Xbox.
I don't see you. You're running out of excuses, Riccio.
Well, the worst part is like, I almost found the one that I wanted. It's like one of the things that I said around Black Friday last year is like, if I could find one for
Sunset,
$300,
the white one.
That came with, if I could find that white one for $300, I'd get it. Well, I saw that they had the Halo one for $300. And I was tempted. I was like, man.
Is that a white one or is that the regular?
No, it's just regular. It's black.
Regular? Okay. So I know they released another white one, but I can't remember which one it was.
No, I don't care about the color of the machine. I just wanted the game.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. But
crazy.
All right.
Yeah.
What's up next?
I may actually, you know, this year, Black Friday may be the time.
I'm not going to lie. I saw Travis. This sucks because me being the only person who plays Xbox in this podcast is like, whenever I'm talking about an Xbox exclusive, it's like talking to crickets. It's like, all right, cool. Well, I'll just say what I'm playing and I guess we're just going to move on.
I hear you, buddy.
Just like, fuck. There's a lot. There's, it's worth buying.
It's just like when Travis is in on the show and I talk about Destiny.
Oh, God. Yeah. But that's been going on for like, what, a year?
No, you're right.
Well, hold on to your coal mining asses because in 2 months it's going to get asses. It's going to get bad again.
For about a week until we stop playing it.
No, no, bullshit.
That ain't going to happen.
That's what's gonna, dude, you're going to keep talking about Destiny Vanilla until then, and then you're just going to talk about that.
No, honestly, dude, I'm pretty much completely done with Destiny Vanilla outside of Nightfalls on Tuesday.
I will believe it. Why do you still do Nightfalls on Tuesday then? What does that get you? I'm actually legitimately curious.
That's when you get the good. That's when you have the best chance to get good drops.
Good drops.
Not that I get good drops for anything anymore. But, you know,
it's the best
that you've
chance.
Gotten shit in the past, like,
yeah, it's
months.
The best chance to be extremely disappointed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's actually, I think I streamed. We did our flawless raider where we basically did a raid and didn't die. Before and before that, we were doing Nightfalls and I labeled and I don't know if it actually showed up because it's weird how it works interfaces with Twitch, but. I labeled it Nightfall Disappointment and Flawless Raider Attempt. So it pretty much is every Tuesday is Nightfall Disappointment. So
I mentioned off the air at break that I did play Destiny. Yeah. And I was like, I totally forgot to. I played it last night. That I think subconsciously I thought to myself, I can't bring up Destiny because if I don't mention it, there might be a small chance they don't talk about it this week. But I did play through some of the early missions with Captain Harlock, who just recently got the game. So.
Cool. All right.
Yeah. More news. Street Fighter Beta. Okay, so.
It was broken, right?
I'm pretty sure it's made by the same guys who did Master Chief Collection.
it's wow.
Like, I can't get too mad. Most of it's just tongue in cheek because it is a beta. But what I am pissed about is for me to get access to this beta day one, which, like, who am I kidding? I wasn't not going to get it day one. You had to pre-order the game.
Of course.
And the game's not coming out for like a year. It's literally like 200 and something days away, according to their ticker on PSN.
They have a ticker?
And yeah. Well, you know, whenever you pre-order something on PSN digitally, it gives you a ticker on when you can actually play it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's like 200 and something dates.
All right.
So, you know, I totally forgot it was even, I thought it was like the weekend it was supposed to be a thing. So yesterday I was like, oh yeah, Street Fighter V beta in like a couple hours. I'm like, all right, cool. I'll give it a try. Couldn't log in. The furthest I got to was the title screen and then hit the button to continue and they would just kick me out. And then I tried to look back in, it would just be a black screen. Apparently everybody was having problems. There's literally like very, very small amount of people who actually got to play it. So they came on, they said, hey, listen, we're going to extend the beta. So they are extending the beta past this weekend, which I was kind of hesitant on even mentioning this on news, but the way it seems to be going, because they just tweeted an hour ago, servers are up and running. Please have patience because it's going to be a slow rollout. I look at Twitter, still no one can fucking connect.
Wow.
So there's a very good chance that if you're hearing this on Monday, if this show comes out on Monday, that the beta still hasn't started.
Yeah, really.
So it might still be going. So if you still want to get your chance to get in the Street Fighter V beta, guys,
pre-order, you might get it.
But
at this rate, it's going to be up for like 2-3 weeks anyway.
Exactly.
So when it does finally start working, are they going to include all of the currently announced players yet?
It's four characters at the beginning. So it's Ryu, Chun-Li, Nash, and Bison.
Okay.
And then after the first day or two, well, I don't know how it's going to go now because their whole timeline is fucked. They're going to add Birdie and Cammy. But Ken's not going to be in there. But I wouldn't be surprised if they said, you know what? Depending on how far Ken is, they might be like, hey, as like a kind of bonus, might throw Ken in there for the last day or something like that or whatever. Those are the only characters that have been officially announced so far.
Okay, so they're not going to have that new character, Nikali, jump in there?
No. Because Nikali was
super excited about Nikali.
To talk about that, and that's the first original Street Fighter character that I'm actually excited for. That includes all the new characters that were announced with like Super.
Well, I watched the release trailer, the announcement trailer for Nikali, and I was super, super excited because his moveset is basically Wolverine from Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's I'm super excited about
dreads
that.
For days, too.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Like, it goes in, like, overdrive, like Dragon Ball Z mode. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, Super Saiyan.
Yeah, super great, cool-looking character, Wolverine-type gameplay. I mean, I'm excited for that. Just that character alone has me super
Yeah, pumped. I don't see them putting that in the beta, but that would be cool. But either way, I'm going to try it after this, because apparently they're, you know, they went offline all day today and said they fixed some stuff, but according to Twitter, it's not so fixed yet.
Not so fixed.
Another one is a game that I was hoping was going to get a HD release last generation, because this is one of the last games I played on PS2. Oh. It kind of came out kind of towards the end of the PS2 era, before PS3, but Odin Sphere.
Yeah,
that's like I'm a game excited. Like VanillaWare. It was really cool. It didn't run that great. Like, it ran decent on PS2, but it has
there was
some
a
frame
lot
rate
of frame
problems.
Itches, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of, there were, I mean, those sprites were really
they were
big.
Gorgeous. They were really big and really gorgeous.
Lots of animation, so.
There was a lot of slowdown, which I didn't mind. Cause remember we talked about this on Indus, and I remember being like, I actually didn't mind the slowdown because it reminded me of the old 16-bit days
and
the
slowdown.
because for some reason in a side-scrolling game, it's not as bad as when it's a 3D game, where in 3D game you actually see animations totally like, be janky because of the frame rate, whereas in 2D games, it just looks like everything goes in slow motion. And I have no, like, I'm like, ah, that's all right, whatever. Kind of sucks, but I accept it more in 2D games. But anyway, they're getting a release on the Vita, PS4.
There'll be some new mid-bosses.
Yep, they're going to add, they're changing some gameplay stuff out.
They're going to have a classic mode, though, too, right? So.
Yep, you can play it just as it was on the old version, just with like a 1080p, 60 frames a second, or
see,
you can do like
the revised version. Are you going to fix the inventory? Because that was the biggest problem.
That's the thing that pissed me off about it, too.
Yeah. Fix that inventory system.
Yep. It was annoying. And it was kind of cool. Like, I like the whole thing. You had to plant stuff in the ground during battles to get, like, health and stuff. But that became kind of, I guess, the main part of the gameplay, so I can't really complain about it. But, I'm going to give it another shot. Because I don't know if I still have that. Because I only have a few PS2 games left. I wonder if that's one. But anyway, I got pretty excited when I came back home, or I might have saw that when I was at. Oh no, I saw that when I was at Travis and Megan's.
That was a good announcement. I was happy to see that. Yeah. It's like, and that's the thing. It's like, I don't mind them saying, "All right, PS2 games, we're gonna HD this."
No, because it's two generations away.
It's like a full generation.
It's like, yeah.
And you know, and it was a huge jump from PS2 to PS3, PS3 to PS4. Mm-hmm. Not as huge of a jump.
I'm not too big
on these like. Definitive editions, you know, that, it's like, I don't really care, but if you're going to bring Odin Sphere to fucking PS4, yes, I will buy it. Thank you.
Yep.
Take my money, sure. Please. Appreciate that.
Agreed. Put that in full 16:9 and because that game deserved it.
Yes, it did. The game was fucking gorgeous.
Yep. Totally. That's all the news though. Those are like the main ones.
Oh, I might have, oh no, you already talked about this. So never mind.
Okay.
I found one news story. I wanted to talk about it, and we already talked about it, so we're good.
Kojima?
No, it was a Tomb Raider.
Oh, Tomb Raider. Yeah, we already talked about that.
So, yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe in November I'll have an Xbox One and I'll be playing it with you. So,
cool.
I certainly would not mind that. It's just, gotta find the.
There's so many deals. Right, I've been looking at the deals all the time with emails. I'm like, dude, like get one for like regular price plus like three games.
Yeah,
like,
right now it's hard because no I've spent time. A lot of money in the past few months. Like I threw quite a bit of money at Bloodstained. So that hit me at one time, and then I was just telling Travis about a Mass Drop that I got on. And I don't know if you're familiar with Mass Drop.
Oh, what?
Mass Drop? It's a website where they basically put up bundles of things, and it's mostly like geeky stuff, like board games, card games, that kind of thing. And they'll do bundles, and they'll have like different price ranges. And in order to get to the different price ranges, you have to have a certain number of people commit to it. So one of the things that I bought into is I bought into the Star Wars miniatures, the X-Wing miniatures. So we're trying that out this weekend, but there was a Mass Drop for that, and I picked those up. So right now it's just been like it's been. I've been spending too much money, so I need to take a break and not spend money.
No
anymore,
worries.
So. But
I just want to see
you
play something besides Destiny and Batman.
Well, oh no.
And for fuck's sakes, beat The Order and what's the other game?
I bought The Order.
The Order's like, yeah, I know you bought it, but you
no,
didn't.
No, you don't,
because like
I didn't talk about
hours?
That.
Yeah, you did. You played the. You talked with the order like twice already on the show.
Yeah, but I didn't buy it. I was borrowing it from someone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you didn't. But you didn't beat it.
No, how did you not beat it in like
Chris? It takes 45 minutes. Yes. Let's go.
No, it takes 4 to 5 hours.
It's about 4 to 5 hours. Yeah,
yeah. And the problem,
more,
the problem
more
with that game,
five.
And I'll be honest with you, the problem with
oh,
that
it's
game,
not a great game, but
and
it's...
that's the problem. It's like I can't sit down for 2 hours to play that fucking game. That's the thing. It's like I got to sit down for like half an hour to an hour at a time, and it's just like, man, okay, I'm done with this. Let's go play something else.
Play some Bloodborne.
Oh, I do need to play that some more. Damn, you are right, Jeff. You are right.
It's a good game. I want you to play at least a few more hours into that before we have our game of the year discussion at the end of the year. Or I guess you say early
next year. I will
do
that. So that's the thing. It's like I finished up Batman. So right now I'm going back to Witcher. That's where I'm going to go back first.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm playing until the next game comes out. Back to the Witcher.
And then, you know, I don't have any games that I plan on buying until for another month. Disney Infinity and Metal Gear are coming out around in about a month and a half. So.
Yeah, end of August, early September, I think both of those are.
But, all right, cool. Let's do some new releases. Let's see what is coming out this week. We have The Swindle, which is coming for PC, PS4, PS Vita, PS3, and Xbox. I have no idea what that is, and I'm not sure anybody cares. Hey, this has been on the new release list for like a freaking month and a half. Legend of K Anniversary, which is probably not coming out, so I'm going to move to the next one. Lost Dimension is coming out for Vita and PS3. World of Tanks is coming for Xbox. Isn't that already out?
That's already out.
Maybe this is like a physical copy of something?
Oh, it might be a physical copy of it, maybe.
I don't know, yeah. I don't know why it's on this list. That's weird.
Oh, but I guess technically it's a beta. So maybe it's officially
Oh, really? So the official release?
Released.
Okay.
Yeah. Did I talk? I can't remember if we talked about that, but yeah. Okay. It seemed pretty cool.
Blaze Blue Chrono Phantasma Extend. I feel like we've talked about this before
too,
and it's still not
already
out,
I think.
Is it? This says July 28th.
I'm almost 100% positive I saw that on the Xbox store like 2 days ago. Like
oh, no, this is for Vita. It's for Vita.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Sword Art Online, Hollow Fragment is coming out for PS4, apparently, even though the graphic has PS Vita on it. N++ is coming for PS4. King's Quest Chapter 1, A Night to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
Is that next week?
It's coming for PS4. It looks like it's next week. Abyss Odyssey.
Well, it should be on both, because I think next week it's got the, it's the first game in the Xbox Summer of whatever this year.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, the list I have just says PS4. So I believe you because this list is not always accurate. So.
What do you get it from?
For a giant bomb.
Really?
Yeah.
Might want to change. It's like the third time this has happened.
I know. That's the problem. I want someone to tell me where's a good place to look into releases that doesn't have like 3 tons of junk. Like I went back to GameSpot GameSpot, and there was just like, here's everything that's coming out in South Korea. It's like I don't fucking care what's coming out in South Korea. I want to tell people that it's coming out here. Let's see, Abyss Odyssey Extended Dream Edition that has come for PS4. Velocibox. That's coming for PS4.
I have no idea what that is.
And Zeo Drifter is coming out for Wii U. And that is your new release list. I'm going to say King's Quest, guys.
I would say King's Quest. I'm excited about it. I will pick it up, but you also missed Life is Strange Episode 4, which is dropping as well. So I'm that's my pick of the week. I'm in love with that series.
Okay. I'll probably have to go King's Quest as well, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited for King's Quest to come back. And
I thought you would be all over King's Quest.
Oh, no, I'm all over it. All I mean, over it's, that it's day one. I may even play it before Life is Strange, but it is – I'm excited about it because, you know, we got to see Roberta Williams, you know, accept that Lifetime Achievement Award, but also give her blessing on what these new devs are doing to the series and everything. So I'm excited for it, man. King's Quest, I grew up with the series. If not, it's probably one of these series. And I played games growing up. Fuck my entire life, but King's Quest was the first series, you know, around like junior high time that really allowed me to like say I appreciate this industry.
I didn't do King's Quest as much. I did Space Quest and I did Heroes Quest, which is now what do they call it now?
Heroes Quest?
Yeah, Heroes Quest. They changed it to like
was that,
Quest for Glory.
Quest for Glory was great. It had King's Quest feel to it, but then they had the combat. So it was more RPG focused.
Oh yeah, they were all Sierra games, dude. They were all Sierra games. Space Quest too. Yeah.
So Robin Hood. So no Freddy Farkas, the Frontier Pharmacist.
Freddy Farkas was great. Will Adventures of Willie Beamish.
Yeah, Willie Beamish good. Was awesome too. But wait, Freddy Farkas. No.
Let's go back to the pharmacist. That's a thing.
Yeah, Freddy Farkas. That was a thing. Yeah.
It was like a Western comedy. It was a joint collaboration with some other Sierra people, and Al Lowe had a hand in it a little bit.
See, I got into PC gaming rather late. Yeah. I was a teenager, so. Looking at early 90s before I got into any PC gaming, so.
Right.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
Very cool.
All right, let's keep moving. Jeff, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. We have any questions?
We have one Indus question. This just came in today.
All right.
11 minutes ago, exactly. It's from Nabishin.
Nabishin, what's up,
good buddy. He says, was curious on, who you guys watch/follow as far as internet entertainment, whether it's deals, games, comedy, or whatever.
Who I follow as far as okay, so I don't follow a whole lot of people, but I keep up with, let's see here, who do I have? So internet people, I keep up with Pentatonix actually, and but that's not gaming related. Are we looking for gaming related?
No, anything.
Anything?
Okay, anything so, entertainment wise.
Yeah. Pentatonix I keep up with. Lindsay Sterling I keep up with, Epic Rap Battles. And that's mostly it. I follow the React channel because some of that shit's funny as hell. And that's pretty much it as far as like YouTube. That's what I follow on YouTube. And, you know, I don't really pay attention to Twitter enough to say I follow anybody on there. So.
All right.
Yeah. I'm looking through mine and, I mean, there's a lot of people I used to follow, but not really anymore. It's just like Indus listeners and people in our, you know, our close circle. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. Most of the people that I actually like, when I do go on Twitter, I pretty much ignore everything that is from someone I don't know. You know, if it's even, you know, people that I follow that like from industries and things like that, I don't really pay attention to it. I pay attention to the people that I know and like the, you know, the followers, the listeners and stuff.
Well, there's Bungie. There they are.
Yeah. I follow Bungie. Yeah. What a surprise.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, no, I still like Maximilian's one of the big ones for me just because he's like a really cool dude in the fighting game community who doesn't really compete anymore. He more so just kind of teaches people how to play games and how the fighting games. If you want to start a fighting game, you should start following him. Like, especially when a game's new, he's really, really good at getting the basics across to people. And he seems like a really cool dude. So Maximilian's one of the dudes I follow with that. There's also, of course, other gaming people, journalists, whatever I follow. But my thing's more YouTube, like Aaron O'Keefe. I totally recommend people following Aaron O'Keefe Center
is
on YouTube.
Amazing. Jeff opened my world to that. Fucking tell him what it is. It's awesome.
It's just like it's a school, music school somewhere. I think we figured out, was it in California somewhere? I can't remember. It's basically music school, but all the kids and stuff, they cover modern to, you know, classic rock type cover songs, and they just nail them, and these kids are so talented.
Yeah, they're doing Tool.
And it's just so, Tool, like System of a Down.
Yeah.
Avenged Sevenfold. They're just doing like, what was another one we watched? Oh my God. Dream Theater.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, Ozzy Osbourne. It's really entertaining, and they put out some really
good stuff. They fucking rock it, man. It's amazing to see these kids do this. It's very School of Rock-ish.
Yes, it's exactly.
It's what it is, really.
It's like. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Smash games are good with their, you know, their honest trailers of whatever. 10-second songs is another one. It's a guy who does, he'll take a song, a popular song, and then sing it in like 20 different styles of other musicians. It's really, really cool.
What's the dude that does the freaking hilarious ass vines?
There's a bunch of dudes like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's hundreds.
The one that does like story time, and he goes.
Oh, story time. Yeah, that guy's really funny. I can't remember his name, but I do follow it, like, on Vine. I can't remember. It's Brandon something?
I think so. I think it's Brandon hilarious, something. Man.
Yeah, he's really funny. Story time. Yeah. It's so good. Vati Vidya is really good if you play any of the Souls games. He's goes into, like, the lore and how to do shit. It's
Thomas
really cool.
Sanders.
It's Thomas Sanders.
Thomas Sanders is
totally
the guy.
Way off. It's not Brandon.
It's okay. I fucking agree with you. What am I thinking?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure who's worse, the guy who says it or the guy who agrees.
Who agrees. Yeah, it's totally the guy's name. Yeah,
totally,
man. Word,
yeah,
high five.
That sounds Boom. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fam, yo. Yeah, totally.
He's fam.
Tampax.
It is.
That was,
indeed.
Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty much it, really. I don't follow a lot of like non-game people, unless they're like really funny. Kevin Smith, I followed him for a while and was like, eh.
Yeah,
no. Okay. That's about it. Cool. All right, we can move on.
All right.
All right. Question of the week.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, Brian.
Nama.
Question of the week. So we discussed this a little bit, and we were trying to figure out something that would be easy for you guys to run in and write in and comment on, even if it was something that you could do over Twitter via Indus Questions. So feel free to answer it that way as well. But a couple things here. We want to know what your game of the year is up to this point.
Up to this point. Yeah.
And
you can even give us like a top three. You don't have to single at one.
Yeah,
we're not going to call you out at the end of the year and you're like, wait a second, your one game you picked, you're not even on your final five list for the game. It's fine. Just like, you know,
we
top
wouldn't
two,
even
three.
Say that.
Yeah.
That's unrealistic. Well, you know, why would we even say that?
And then tell us what games
I would
are coming
totally
out.
Call you guys out if you guys were like, I'm putting this game as my number one game of the year up to this point. If you're like Batman, then at the end of the year, you're like, Batman's not even on that list. Like, what the fuck happened to Batman? Totally call your shit out on that.
With that, tell us what games that are coming out in the future that might beat it.
Ooh.
That are coming out
like
this year
it.
That might beat it.
I
so
like
what
it.
What is your current game of the year up to this point, and what might beat it? So, to answer that question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You're going to send us a voicemail as well. That number is 706-760-4337.
Numbers.
You can check us out on Facebook, Google+, Steam, and Stitcher. We are Interactive Distractions. Search for us and you will find us. We're on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast or Indus Questions. And individually, we are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff.
And then VG Evo, we are on their podcast network. Feel free to jump over to the forums, join, and meet some other gamers. And that is it. Do you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get out of here?
Yeah, I do want to say, I've been meaning to mention this. I don't think I have mentioned it on the show yet. But the Chris, mainly to you, I'm going to narrow cast over to you real quick. The new 311 archive, the 25th anniversary 4-disc CD set is absolutely amazing. It is really exciting.
I just wet my panties.
It is really exciting to finally get a really good 311 album of a whole bunch of old music.
Since we haven't had a good 311 album in like
in
6 years.
I was going to say in ever, but yeah, that works too.
Yeah, for sure. So it's great. Chris, you need to soul cold buy that joint. It's really good. So yeah, that's it. Yeah, let's end this bitch.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes or the Stitcher Marketplace, or if you're on Stitcher, leave us a review. So until next time, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
Play your games, especially Rocket League.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you next week.
Really good.